Okay. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to be used by you. We praise you, and we thank you, Father, for the opportunity just to study about what our responsibility is as the church. What is our service? And Father, we thank you for teaching us as we move from the service until we start the latter part of the class dealing with eschatology, future events, revelation, judgment. So we ask you, Father, and thank you for our salvation, that those things that could be scary will be exciting because we know where we will end up. We read the last chapter and we win. In Jesus' name we all say, praise God. All right? Your Christian service. How do you spell church? C-H-U-R-C-H. Church is not the church until you are in it, right? If you're not in it, it's just Chi-Chi. Let's go to Chi-Chi. Sound like something a little kid would do in his diaper. Oh, doesn't talk like that. Got some young minds in here. Okay. Now, it is very important for you and I to understand why we have to understand our Christian service. Our Christian service is that which God has given us, and gifts. What is the most important thing about gifts, as we talked some last week? And that is, why are gifts given? To edify the church. Is gifts ever given to edify the individual? No. If you hear that, it is right teaching or wrong teaching? Wrong teaching. And you should be able to explain that by going to 1 Corinthians chapter... No. It's 12. See, guys, you hear that. I can't believe it. Yeah, it's chapter 12. Because it tells you in chapter 12, whose responsibility is it to give gifts? Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts to according to whose will? Your will or His will?
His will.
His will. Does the Holy Spirit ever get out of His role?
No.
Will He allow you to get in His role?
No.
And will He allow you to get Him out of His role?
No.
So if you go to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit for another gift, what have you just told Him? He gave you the wrong gift for the church. What's the purpose of the gift when we all come together as a church? What's the purpose for the gift? To create the image and body of Christ represented by all who come to the church to use their gifts. Now, so it's so important for you and I to understand why we come to church. It's not because it's a great thing to do, a nice thing to do, obligated to do, but it's the time where we come together for fellowship and bring the body of Christ together. So all of God's characteristics is there on Sunday. Okay? We forget that sometimes. Sometimes it's just a burden. I tell you what, I'm really looking forward to doing one day. And that is, I have everyone come to church and I don't show up. Just don't come. And then I want them to plug a cassette in and say, you know, I just didn't feel like coming this morning. I hope church goes well without me.
We'll rock.
You know what I'm saying? Just turn the music up and go for it. There ain't going to be no preaching today. Because I was tired. I was up late last night. I partied too hard. I had too much orange juice. You know what I'm saying? Too many pieces of candy. Too big of a mistake.
At the church, he said, why does that say that you're not right with God, or not right with the sin, don't muck up my offering?
Yeah. Don't mess up my offering.
She didn't understand.
She's still on this.
She says, I never heard a preacher say that before. I said, yeah, now.
Because the big problem is God can't bless that which isn't righteous. Yeah. So our biggest problem is, what do you think the people say? Now, do you think church would be affected if I just started deciding, well, I just don't feel like going today? Or what if you guys come here on Wednesdays? You've taken your time out, make sure you're here, come in to learn, and, you know, just something else came up while on the way I was here. Really? This is something came up. So I ended up stopping and going out with some friends. I hope you guys have a good time. You got the book in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
We'll make Mike teach you. He's been here three or four times before.
Yeah, well, we really
you know? But you see the church being affected if I'm not here. But you don't see the church being affected if you're not here. To you, it's no big deal. But do you know that Sunday, that could have been a life that you could have walked by and just smiled and encouraged and never know where that life ended up? Let me give you a little story to help you out by understanding our service, our gifts, how important it is for you and I to be a church because of how God may want to work, and to be a Christian wherever you are. How many of you guys ever heard of Marvin Jones? Marvin Jones used to be the director of Awana and got married and had to start doing some other things like taking care of family. If you have leaders of Awana rotate about every 3-4 years. Just keep some freshness in there. And about, I can't think how many years now. Probably about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, Dave Hughes was driving in Woodville. Stopped in Woodville to go to the 7-Eleven. Marvin pulled up beside him, and Marvin had just moved from Hawaii. Just up and moving high, he had to get away from Hawaii. And totally depressed. Now, unbeknownst to David, Marvin had a goal in his mind. He had the last $3 or $4. David gets out of the car. Marvin looks, when he pulls up, sees the Hawaii sticker on the back of Dave Hughes' truck. He's walking in, they say hello and say, "Hey, you're from Hawaii." And Dave says, "Oh, yeah, man." And Dave starts talking to him. And when it comes to, "Man, you got to meet my pastor, Ken Hudson." This whole day start working for the church. Encouraged Marvin. Marvin calls that appointment. But let me tell you what Marvin was going to do. Marvin went to 7-Eleven. Let's tell you this. Spent his last $2 or $3. He's going to eat, and then he's going to blow his brains out. He's going to kill himself, commit suicide. And because David stopped long enough to sit and talk to him, took that time out, was there in the present, used his gift. Hey, that's why he works now with evangelism. Because that was just come natural for him. Saved Marvin's life. Marvin met me. I led him to the Lord. He accepted Christ. Started coming to the church. Turned his life around. Met the right woman. Got married. Had kids. Adopted. And in ministry with us. All because that one Christian just happened to be a Christian right in front of 7-Eleven. Now, what if David would have thought, just that one day, "You know, I don't feel like stopping at 7-Eleven. It's too much time. I want to really get home instead of prompting." Now, what's the difference between David just saying something like that and you on Sunday morning saying, "Well, you know, I don't need to be at church. No one's going to miss me anyway." That could be someone walking down the hall that happened to see your face. You smile. Say, "How you doing? God bless." You may say something silly out of the air. "Hey, need someone to pray for you." You never know how the body of Christ works. You never know how the body of Christ works. What if someone was depressed and they would have talked to you, but that part of the body of Christ, to show love or kindness, to show consistency, isn't there. Now, am I trying to put a guilt trip on you? You bet. You know why? Because it's your responsibility to be obedient to the Word of God, and the Word of God says in Hebrews, "Do not forsake the gathering of the brothers," some of the heathens do. And if I, you know, if I do that sometimes, just don't show up for church, because something came up. I just don't feel like preaching today. See how that affects the church. And that can affect when you're not there in a class, or when you're not there with a friend, or you're not there. Because no one is more important in the church than anyone else. God uses us all. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Alright? It's important for us to keep that in mind. Alright. Number one, you're part of the body. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Someone want to read that for me? Real loud. All right, bro. You got it? Ephesians 4:11-16. Read that. It is so important for us to understand the whole aspect that being a part of the body is part of our service. And if we're part of the body, can you imagine if your right hand decide not to work, not to help you eat? Is it decided, would you miss your right hand?
Yep.
No. Would you miss your right hand?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes, you would. Now, do you think that if you had the option of having your right hand, you would give it up? No. Now, how many of us in this room do not believe that you can be the right hand for someone else on a particular day? Stroller falls over. You catch it. Don't ever underestimate how important you are to the body. Got it, bro? Okay, read it real loud.
When Peter gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is, Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work.
So, you need to tell me that every one of us in here has a particular purpose to make the body complete, work correctly, and if you don't think you're important, just cut one of those mirrors that you can't see that runs to the eye. Just see how important you are. And most of us don't think we're important if we don't have that upfront experiential showing that gift of how important. Boy, I wish I could do that up there. Well, God didn't make you to do that up there. He made you to make the body complete where you are with the gift you have. And we're all important. Well, that's a personal responsibility is in the body, I guess. We got time. God says, I want your time. How important is it for God to want your time? And if your time wasn't that important, why would God want it? You ever thought about that? Has God ever wanted anything that's a waste? No. And if God expects to get your time, then God thinks that your time is quite important to Him. All right. How about Luke 12? Oh, that's too many. How about Luke 10:38-42? Who reads that one? All right, Matthew, real loud. Luke 10:38-42.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made.
She was what?
Distracted.
She was distracted? Now all the things she had to do. Ooh, now here's Jesus, walks in her home, and he comes to visit her, and she ends up spending more time trying to cook the perfect meal and leave Jesus sitting in the room by herself. Now, how is it, lady, that when someone comes to visit your house, you think it's about how the house looks?
That's a woman's thing, I believe.
Let's move over, man. Move over, man.
God's all these shoes.
Let's be honest. Right. There is nowhere in the world a woman can think that people are coming to visit their home and have a dirty home and feel good about it. Because their extension is the home. You know what a man's extension is? His vehicle. A man, you know, it's his car, his truck. And then my wife told me one time, you know, that's when they're really frustrated, when they have two of them. That means they're trying to think of something to say. And when a woman is trying to think of something to say, she's mad. Are you ever going to be through putting stuff on that truck? I said, as soon as you get through putting stuff on your house. It's our what? Extension. Jesus walks in. Just the perfect meal. She's running out doing all kinds of things. Does Jesus want you doing things for him? Or do you think he really wants you to spend time with him? See, you spend time with him, and he'll multiply the rest of your time. But if you don't give him time, you'll never have enough time to do what you want. Can I get a witness? Keep reading, my man, Matthew, because there's something said in here. Check this out.
She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me?
Ooh, I think she's a little manipulative. If that's a big word for a Southern athlete.
Just a little.
Don't you care that my sister left me alone? According to Martha, whose fault is it that she's in the kitchen? It's Mary's fault, and it's Jesus' fault. Don't you care that she did this to me? Now, Jesus, one of the greatest things I love about Jesus is he never gets caught up in your manipulation. But we try. Let's say something like this. God, if you will,
I will.
I will. God said, even if I don't, you will. That's why they call me God, you sue. Dutch, deal, Patty. Hey. Excuse me. That sounded like a cartoon character, didn't it? Okay, keep reading. Watch this. Watch this. Watch Jesus say.
Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered.
No, you got to say it the way he said it.
Sorry.
With Martha.
What Martha said?
Yeah, no, what Jesus said about Martha.
Martha, Martha.
Now, that's a little bit better. Come on, you know, put some emphasis in there. Put some emphasis in there.
Martha, Martha.
That's right. Put Martha. Jesus in there. Put some Jesus in there. Martha, Martha! Now, we don't know if he said it like that, but, you know, he's probably a little frustrated with about now, don't you think?
Yes.
He probably goes, Martha, Martha. If he's on the southern part of Jerusalem, you know, he probably said it like that. Z-formation. Martha, Martha. Well, you know, I mean, you don't think he emphasized this? He could have said it real cool, but with a look. Martha, Martha. In other words, he's a little frustrated with Martha. Okay? Continue to read, brother. I'll help you out there.
You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed.
Who?
Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.
Now, check this out. Here's Martha. Martha is a perfect example of doing Christian things. Mary is a perfect example of being a Christian. A lot of us do a lot of Christian things. Very few of us just be a Christian and it's automatic what you do. Jesus says, Martha, let me tell you something. If you don't feed me, I'm going to be okay. But if you don't let me feed you, you're going to die. And Mary has chosen to let me feed her. So when it comes to time, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. God wants your time, but he wants your time with him so you know what to do with the rest of your time. How many of you have ever been in a rush and kind of just left God out of it? And nothing went right that day. 3/4 of all of our lives. But if you just take time out before you get ready to go, man, just slow down, thank God for the day, and ask him to multiply your time, you'll be amazed how you always have more time because you gave him his due first. Unbelievable. All right, so one of your personal responsibility is what?
Time.
He wants you to make sure you spend your time well. See, that frog, man, he's pretty cool. He can get down. He'll be a brother frog. Now, this is your talents, not your gifts. We've already talked about that, right? He wants your talents to be used for him. And oftentimes, what God will do is he will use, that's why we're really big at Antioch about getting this EDA, economic development, and use their talents in the church to not be just left to secular world. How much talent do you think is in Antioch in business, in counseling, in administration, organization? I mean, and the church never taps into it. When God says, I want your talent, most of the time we think, if I'm going to give God my talent, I got to be full-time ministry. You don't need to be full-time ministry in the church, but you do need to be in full-time ministry. See, your job is full-time ministry. You represent Christ there. The talents and the abilities that God has given you weren't given for you to just enjoy. It was given for you to use, to make money, to enjoy life, and be able to turn some of that back for God's use. And that's why, man, we're trying our best to get all these businesses, all these different things, and use for God. And then what, you know what's amazing? It's to start a business that runs on God's principles. So other businesses can't stick with us because our major drive is not greed. It's helping folks.
I thought people were taken back when they thought you were kidding Sunday about that building.
Oh, yeah.
The building cost $30 million.
You know what? Ask them to give it to us. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can sell some of them. He's got to sell a bunch of them. Been sitting there that long empty. Might as well use it for God. Talent. Okay, now we got two responsibilities. One is time, and the other is, and God expects you to do what with both? Use them wisely. You have chosen wisely. You guys remember what movie that was from? Raiders of the Ark, The Last Crusade. He says, now if I choose the wrong cup, I may explode. But Jesus was a carpenter. What type of cup would a carpenter use? You have chosen wisely. I feel like a black pearl myself. You know what I'm saying, man? Don't you think I look like Captain Hutch Sparrow? But I talk like Balboa. I just want to thank you, Jack. Woo, we're going to curse a lot of movements here. I'm working hard, man. Harder than you. Great horny goats? Doo-doo. Doo-doo. How about your treasure? Where your heart is, so will your treasure be. Where your treasure is, so will your heart be. Vice versa. Someone want to read 1 Corinthians 16, 1, 2, and 3 for me, and someone else read 2 Corinthians 16, 1, 2, and 3. Do I have any volunteers? Thank you very much. You have the second one. 2 Corinthians 16, 1, 2, 3. Buff, you have the first one. 1 Corinthians 16, 1, 2, and 3. Is that right, 2 Corinthians? Check it. 1 Corinthians 16. Yeah? Okay, listen up.
Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him his store, which God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come.
Hold up. What day of the week you saying?
First day.
Whoa. Now, back up a little bit and read this again. I want you guys to hear this, okay?
Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store.
Okay, hold on. Now, why is it, when we get to Corinthians, it says you put together and together and you use the first day of the week, where before Christ came and died and was resurrected, everything was on the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath.
Okay, why is it?
Yeah. Because?
The new law.
Because he fulfilled the law. Not the new law, he fulfilled the law. So you don't have to sacrifice on the last day of the week. We come to worship the first day of the week. When did Christ resurrect?
First day of the week.
That's why we don't keep the Sabbath anymore. So always remember that. That's the order of things now. And many people go, well, why don't we do it on the Sabbath? Because I don't like when you say Sabbath school. Sunday school sounds so much better, doesn't it? Okay. No, I'm just kidding. No, now we know that God changed it. Okay? Keep reading, bro. Listen.
I'm sorry,
3 or 3? Oh, you finished 3?
I finished 2.
Yeah, go 3, yeah.
Okay. And when I come, whosoever he shall, appear by your letters, them will I send to bring you literally into Jerusalem.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians? That was 1 Corinthians, right?
Yes.
Okay. 2 Corinthians?
Is that supposed to be 9?
Yes.
But just I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity.
Ho. Did you hear that? Something's wrong here. Now, why do you think every Sunday you hear me say, whoever give an offering, be a cheerful giver? Is that not what scriptures say? You know? Is that just in there because it's a nice thing to say, or does God expect for you to follow what the scriptures say? Here's again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
2 Corinthians.
What happened? It says 16 up there.
That's wrong.
Oh, okay, good.
I get it fixed up for you.
I thought I was
going from
kind of
good. Yeah. I got a new good. Is that here, Louis?
Which one would we?
That is.
Yeah.
9-1.
What?
9-1?
Can I read? No, she's 9-6. She's reading. Nine. Go again and read all of it. Well, listen to this. God expects for us when we give. Now, I don't know what your definition of cheerful is. You got to come up with that definition. My only question to you is this. Do you live up to your own definition? When the verse tells us to pray without ceasing. What does that mean, pray without ceasing? Every moment. I don't know what your definition of without ceasing means. But you ought to ask your question. Regardless of what my definition is, do I live it? What does God honor? obedience. Now, let's hear, you got to understand something. Once you get to a certain age in Christ, not a certain age physically, but in a certain age with Christ, as you have matured with it, when he first starts off with you, he just wants your obedience. As you mature in him, he wants your obedience with the right attitude. Now, let me see if I can break that down. Would that help if I break it down, Faith? Now, let me see if I can break it down, Faith. My son or my daughter is in the house on the computer. I walk in and say, son or daughter, whichever one happens to be in the line of direction, go out and cut the grass for me. Well, Dad, I don't want to cut the grass. Go cut the grass. I didn't ask you if you wanted to. They go out and start cutting the grass. About halfway through, I come out on the porch, and I just start screaming at him, yelling at him, and saying, you hypocrite. I can't believe you're out here cutting this grass. You didn't want to, and you're cutting the grass. Quack, 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 quack. Get in the house. Now, what kind of father would I be?
Not very good.
I mean, that'd be stupid, wouldn't it? Now, I know they don't want to do it. But they're what? Why? Because I ask them to do it. Now, as they mature and get older, I come in and I ask them, I don't want you going to that party. Now, I don't want an immaturity out of my 17, 18-year-old. I not only want them to not go, but I want them to not go because they're wise enough to know why I don't want them to go. So they got the right attitude about not going. It's a mature level. When my 3-year-old would come to me and mess in their diaper, that's a help clean up. But when an 18-year-old hadn't learned not to mess in their diaper, they do it in certain different ways, but they still mess in their diaper. Now, I'm more difficult on the 18-year-old than I am on the 3-year-old. And when a 25-year-old comes with a mess in their diaper, or a 30 or 40-year-old comes with messes in their diapers. Now, which one do you think I got the most patient with?
None of them.
Why? Because I expect more maturity and the right attitude in their messes. Does that make sense? Is that flowing? Now, if I can expect that, what do you think God expects out of us when we are 5 years old in the Lord, or 10 years old in the Lord, or 20 years old in the Lord? What do you think?
He expects more.
He expects more out of us. And sometimes, you know what? He doesn't get it. You do it not for show. I love this. When you're going to give, you're going to give your treasures, and that which God's given, you give above. If you're going to go outside, you give above. Now, everyone's always talking about the 10%. But you got to understand something. That is a basis for the Old Testament. The real tithe is 33%. That's what the government is based off of. Do you guys know that? That's how Israel.
33%.
It's about a 33% really average in 3-4 years in the tithe. Because you got to give your first fruit. Now, if anyone, now if you have a jewelry box full of gold, okay? Can't hear you. You got a jewelry box full of gold.
Not very big box. Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you pile it up, God says, give me 10% of the best. Now, say you got $100,000 worth of gold in that jewelry box. One of the rings is worth $20,000. So you may only give 10% in amount, but in value, if you give God the best, you're giving 33% out of that $100,000. You just get me? You give God your best, not just a part. And what we want to do is just give God a part and hope that he'll be settled with it. 10% was a basis, a bottom line basis in the Old Testament. Yes, ma'am.
So, okay, I can compute what you're saying, but the goal. But as far as the money goes, I'm not quite sure I understand.
Today is not a tithe, it's a gift, it's a love gift, it's your offering. So you dictate how much you want to give. You can give 1%, or you can give up to 100%. And you dictate. I had a friend in Denver, Gilman, gave 90% of his everything he made to the Lord. Guys would go, well, if my 10% was 100,000, I could live off that too. No, it's not the 100,000 he kept. That's the issue. It's the 900,000 he gave every year and had no rights to dictate how it was going to be spent. That was Gilman. And after 10 years, he only got taxed on the 10%. He didn't get taxed on the 1 million he was making. Okay? So the issue that you and I got to come to today is that God expects, like my wife and I, we look at a percentage we want to give. We don't look at an amount. Because if whatever comes in, that percentage goes up or down. But we never had to worry about, if we committed to $400,000 this year and we only made $100,000, well, we're in trouble. We can't even eat. But if we commit to 10% or 12% or 25%, regardless of what comes in, guess what goes out? That 25% of that goes out. Okay? Now, last year, one of the worst years at our church in the aspect of giving, the cost of the time and everything else, we ended up giving 3 times more last year than we ever gave. Why? Because we felt that it was a need to give back to the church. And we knew God would take care of us. Because we wanted to make sure that the staff and others were taken care of. And God has honored that. He gave us things in other ways. But He is faithful if you do it cheerfully and you do it consistently. At the end of the year, my wife and I would come back and we'd say, okay, next year, what do we want to give? What percentage do we want to give? Do we keep it the same? Do we give less or do we give more? And we try to never, ever give less. Try to move it up. And it's a percentage. Now, this is the thing that kills you. Remember the parable in where the woman came with the alabaster of perfume to wash Jesus' feet? And it says, we could have fed the poor equal to a year's salary. That perfume she gave Jesus to wash his feet. And the treasurer, of course, was upset because he could have got that alabaster and sold it and then bought that land a lot sooner, Judas. What did Jesus tell him? He says, the poor you have with you always. Now, what do you think that means?
Say it again.
The poor you will have with you always. This woman has chosen the most important thing. She gave a year's salary. Now, let's forget about the amount. Let's take every one of us and know we're going to give our year's salary. That's how the Bible is. It's all encompassing. No one cannot relate to what that woman did if she gave her whole year's salary. But if you give a percentage to just an amount or something, that doesn't compute to some of us. But every one of us can relate to the fact that that woman gave up a year's salary to honor the Lord. It's so important that when we give, we don't do it for show. Why is it important that we don't do it for show? Well, because pride. It makes pride. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Yeah. They came pretending like they gave it all when they sold the place, but they kept a bunch for themselves and just pretended to everyone else they gave all so that everyone would look up to them. God did what to Ananias and Sapphira? Smoked them, peeled Ananias right on the floor. Said, buddy, and then you know it was somebody in the church. Amen. There was somebody in that church service that could have eased out the back and went and told Sapphira, you better not lie on that girl. They got your man, boy. I mean, he's just dead as a doughnut right now. You better tell the truth. Oh, no. Just like regular church people. They all sit in there and go, I wonder if she's going to lie too.
Do you think the problem with giving in church is people have no idea what the church does?
Most people don't care what the church does.
Most people just
don't think that God is going to do what He's promised He'll do.
Because people are asking me, they were going like, well, how'd y'all pull off that day? And I said, well, Antioch really put the bill.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that. They think it was all done. I said, Antioch put the bill. They said, where did you get the money? I said, they didn't work for the money. They just said, here, we'll put the bill. And people don't know how much it costs to get that stadium. Because in that stadium came, they said, that's just the building. I said, no. There was TNT, transportation, there was security, there was stage rental, electricity, I mean, the whole shot. They had no idea.
And God did what?
He pushed him.
Totally. 30 days, God raised money, took it in the offering, paid for everything.
And you know what's really funny? The first meeting we had, we came back, what the guy said? I'll tell you all right now, because it floored me. Lynn said, a guy is a multi-millionaire, was so moved by May Day, he said, you just tell me how I can be involved, tell me what you need, I'll take care of the bill.
See, just gave a ministry $1 million a month before.
Yeah.
This guy, and was so moved by May Day, he said, whatever you want to do, just let me know and I'll underwrite it. I mean, so it's that's the way God is, if you just do what He calls you to do and trust that He'll come through. Now, I crack up, man, when the staff and everyone's looking, are we going to get paid or not get paid? You know what? God knows how to make a church staff grow. And I'm always telling my staff, you know what, guys? We're always telling the people in the pew to live by faith. But you pastors have a hard time living by faith. Okay? And that's how God gets us. Because He wants to know who owns the treasure. And I stretch them.
Hey, what was that you said about money? Most people get money in church, they save it.
In America, you got to understand one thing, guys. In America, we're taught to get all we can what we get, then sit on the can. And God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. Someone read Matthew 6, 1 through 4 for me. And someone, I won't go to Acts, that's too long. And someone else read Matthew 8, 33 through 34. Who reads 6, 1 through 4?
I got it right.
Okay, you got it? And you read 8, 33 and 34?
It says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, and as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the street, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
He'll reward you openly. 8:33-34. Miss Elvis Sakalaka.
But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a serious storm came up onto the lake from the floating boat. So Jesus was spirit.
That don't make sense, does it? Mm-hmm. Read 8:22-24. Read 33 and 34.
Those sending the sick ran off. He went and stood the town and reported all this, including what happened to the demon possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to be
saved. That don't make sense, does it? How about Acts 5? No, that's Ananias and Sapphira. We don't need to read that one. Is there any other verses up there? That's it? Well, that's dumb. Well, it's a good thing that one verse worked, amen. Well, we got Acts 5, 1 through 11, Ananias and Sapphira. Don't give you the wrong, God will zap you. And Matthew 6, 1 through 4. It's amazing to me that as many times as I've done this class, those verses still don't make any sense. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. You can make any verse you want fit anything you want. You can find a verse to justify you not being obedient or not doing what God asked you to do. Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to tell you guys, you know how many of us will look at Scripture? Most of us don't go to the Bible to find out what God says. Most of us go to the Bible to figure out, can I do what I want to do? Can't hear you. Woo, any questions about time, talent, and treasure?
I have one question.
Shoot the foot to me, Louise. Jerry? Cochran?
How do you master the time? Because I've been challenged with that for like years.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I can't seem to get places on time. But I notice there are times where I can really pray and I can get there fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it in the prayer?
I'm saying, part of the prayer. The other part is, you always plan on being on time.
Oh, just plan it, huh?
Yeah, if you plan to be on time, you'll always be late. If you plan on being early, you'll be on time. God is saying, redeem the time. All right, how are we doing? Are we rolling? You need prayer for Sunday morning? Well, we don't have time. Okay. We'll pray for you. Well, you know, you guys, some of you weren't here. She's going to be dancing Sunday.
Solo.
Way to go, girl. She doesn't know, but I'm going to get up and dance with her. Instead of the 6-day dance club, it'll be the 12-day dance club with me up there. Because I don't wear 501 jeans. Mine's a 1002. All right. Now, that's for the ones above and beyond. Whenever you're doing anything else, you want to support other ministries and those things, you do it above what you give to your church. You know how many people don't understand that? Because a lot of people, what they do is they just want to support someone, they take it from the church and support someone else. Well, God said that's not the way you do it. Okay?
Come on, see if you'll
listen. I was Obi-Wan.
Oh,
yeah, I'm so big, I'm Obi-2. All right, are you guys ready for a little? We can get into it a little bit. We won't have much time, but we're going to start on the eternal security, revelation, eschatology, future events, any name you want to put on it. Okay? How we doing? Are we ready? Okay. Pretty baby, pretty baby. Hasta laka laka luka laka 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 too. Pretty baby of mine. Pretty baby of mine. Woo-hoo. I'm looking for the one I wear. Okay. I'm looking for the one I really want. But I'm still seeing if I can get it. Is it smoking, man? Is it smoking? Now this helps us. This is going to lay the whole thing out for us, alright? This is Revelation, and Revelation starts where? The book of Revelation starts where? Huh? Most people think it starts here? Ha 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 The book of Revelation starts. Tribulation period. Right here? No. Christ crucified. Right here? No. Starts all the way back at the beginning. Before Adam and Eve. Yep. The dinosaurs came after Adam and Eve. Everyone know that, right? Dinosaurs came after Adam and Eve. The major thing you got to understand about the dinosaurs is they're just called by their name, terrible lizards. And most of the dinosaurs were reptiles. A lot of reptiles will grow as long as they live. It's like the appendix to the nose. It's the only organ on the body that will continue to grow as long as you live. And ears. And the nose and ears. And that's why you see after a while you get guys that's really old that that's a big nose. It'll come down to that. No, but it gets really big. It'll continue to grow, so you have to watch out for your nose and your ears. And women are very lucky because they can cover their ears with their hair most of the time. But if the boy don't have ears, he can't wear glasses. No, no, okay, now, what is happening here is this. And we're going to walk through Revelation chapter 1, all right? Revelation chapter 1 is from the beginning back, from the beginning of time to the Christ comes on the earth. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2 and 3 takes up to Christ crucified and the end of the church age. 2 and 3. Revelation chapters 2 and 3 is the present age of today through the church age. Then, Revelation chapter 4 through 21, is it 22, 21? That's the last chapter, the last verse. Am I right? Revelation 22, 21?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, chapter 4, verse 1 to Revelation 22, 21. It takes all of this. Okay? Is everyone fluent with me? Okay, chapter 1 takes all of when the earth was created. It's the past. Chapter 1, Revelation, the past. Chapter 2 and 3 takes the present. That's why many people get confused when you look at the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. Of the book of Revelation, they get confused about the church because they say those are different ages and the church has gone through those periods. Well, I do not believe that. I believe that all seven characteristics of the church exist today. And five out of the seven churches fail as far as God is concerned. Is that not very close to the truth now? Five out of seven failed. Christ was not pleased with. If you look at our world today, you can see that that is very. It seems like the percentage may be higher. Okay. So, that's chapter 2 and 3. Then chapter 4 through chapter 22 takes in all the future events. Chapter 4 has not started yet. Okay. Now, you guys got to know something. I'm going to walk you through this, and it's the most beautiful timeline in all the world. And if you remember this, it'll help you understand all of Revelation. All right? God always settled a time and set a limited amount of time and hours except for one age. Only age that does not have a time limit that God let us know is the church age. It's the age of grace before God chooses to judge the world. There's only one other time in all the history of man that God gave a lot of grace in a long period of time. Anyone know when that was? Noah. The time that God gave a long period of grace before he's going to bring judgment. Noah was the end of it.
Before Adam and Eve.
Not before Adam and Eve.
Learn Adam and Eve before she did that.
After that. You only got that left, you know. No, it was during the antediluvian period before early antiquity. Alright? Now let me break that down for you. I put it in earthly terms. Alright? It was the period up to the flood, is the antediluvian period. Early antiquity was mankind after the flood. Alright? So what did God do right before the end of the antediluvian period and brought judgment? What did he do to give lots of grace?
Well, he gave Noah time to get on land, right?
Longer than that. He told the father of Methuselah that after your son dies, I will bring the judgment. So he named his son Methuselah. Methuselah means after him it will come. Now, anyone know how long Methuselah lived? 969 years he lived. And the reason why God allowed him to live so long was because God was going to bring judgment and the flood when he died. So grace has always been a part of life. Man did not repent in 969 years. So God brought the flood. God said, before I bring judgment, I have given the age of grace. He has not given any amount of time how long the church is going to last. But he says, there will be signs. So you know that the church is coming to the end of its time. We'll talk about that. Now, the church age is the only age that we can't figure out. That's why we know, when we look at the age and look at man, we can know exactly how old the earth is. The earth is only between 6,000 and 7,000 years old. Not millions of years. Now, let's talk about that. Why do we have all these common 14 vessels, everything else which has been proven wrong in the first place, saying that the world is millions and billions of years old? So we can have evolution that discussed.
A lot of money again.
Let me tell you what happens. When God created man, Adam, who we got? About 20 minutes? When God created Adam, did he create Adam mature or immature?
Mature.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you understand creation and evolution, you can always answer the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken.
Mature.
Okay? Because it has to be mature in order to lay the egg. But if you look at evolution, you can't answer that question. If you believe in evolution, you can't tell what came first. But if you believe in creationism, you know the chicken came first because God created maturely. If you saw Adam when he was 24 hours old, if that was possible, and you saw him walk by you, if that was possible, when he was 24 hours old, how old do you think he would say he was? Probably in his 30s.
Adult.
He probably matured at 33, somewhere around there. We don't know, but I suggest the way God does things. We would think he was mature in his 30s. Now, if you kill him and open him up with his innards, his lungs, intestines, heart, would that look 24 hours old or would it look 30-some years old? It would look 30-some years old. Why? Because God did what?
Created him
maturely. If someone came along and saw a rock, when God created, he created all things in its maturity. If someone comes along and found a rock that's 24 hours old and tested it, it would say it was 15 million years old. Why? Because it was created in its maturity. See, and the biggest problem we got in evolution and science don't contradict. We just got to know that there's a creator that's involved with it. And the uncaused cause that caused everything that's caused, which we call the uncaused cause that has never been caused, God. Then you understand creation. Okay? Because Christians don't want to get it. If you don't understand how God created immaturity, You have a problem with evolution and science. But it was Christians who knew that they served a God that was order, who wrote in order, who believed in order and created an order, knew that order can be studied. So Christians started science. And since God wanted man to know his plan, he limited everything with time, except when it came to grace. One time before the flood, and God showed him, created the earth, Adam and Eve, and then at the hour of judgment, at the flood, God gave some revelations to some of the prophets. Prophet of old. One was Daniel. And God told Daniel exactly from one point to the other when the Messiah would be on the earth. He said it would be 70 weeks of Daniel. A set of 70 weeks which represent 7 years each. Okay? You got it. Each week of Daniel represented 7 years. So that was 70 times 7 represents 490 years. God gave them exactly when the Messiah was going to hit the earth. That's why when you look at the wise men, Daniel was in Persia in the second world kingdom, ruling kingdom of Persia. Daniel was in Persia. He moved over from Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel influenced because God gave him headship over all the magicians and all astronomers. Remember that? In the book of Daniel. Thus, Daniel had a great influence over all the thinkers of Persia. He influenced all the thinkers. Thus, he taught them scripture. Thus, he taught them the exact time through the 70 weeks of Daniel. And don't get confused, because God, when Daniel asked God, what is your plan for the Jews? He told Daniel there are 70 weeks of prophecy that's going to happen. But he did not ask God, keep this in mind, he did not ask God, what is your future plan? He said, what is your future plan for the Jews? He didn't tell Daniel there will be a break between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel called the church. Okay? 69 of those weeks, they looked up, those guys start calculating, the wise men from Persia. Why would the wise men from Persia be looking for the Messiah exactly when the Messiah was going to be on the earth? Anyone here got an idea? Because Daniel had left the teaching of the prophecy, and when they looked at the prophecy and the amount of years it's been, it was 483 years.
7 years long.
Because they still had one deal. And when Christ hit the ground, that 70 week of Daniel stopped. Because it was a break between the 69th week of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel, we call the church age. So when they looked at all the scriptures and counted up all the years, they say according to Daniel's prophecy, the Messiah should be on the earth. So they took off from Persia, the three wise men we call them, looking for the Messiah. And those were the ones who found Christ. No. Now, if that was a break between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel, we have that right now. There's only one more week of Daniel left, one more 7 year period left that God says is going to be for the Jews. Anyone can tell me what is that 7 years that's left on the 70th week of Daniel? Tribulation. See, that's why there's a break between the 69th week when Christ was crucified and taken out of here. The official start of the church age. And it's going to wait God's judgment, because judgment is going to be towards the Jews, the 70th week of Daniel. That's why we're going to see us pulled out of here, because judgment is not for believers. It's for coming back dealing with God's promise to Abraham and God's promise to Daniel. Alright? Now, we don't want to get too far ahead. We're out of time. But I don't want to get too far ahead because are you beginning to see how it all works when we're going to be talking through this, and we get all, most of this out the way, and then we have the next couple of weeks to really get into it. Then, now, when Christ was crucified, the 69th week of Daniel ended. The break between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel began, called the church age. That's why we are now. And that church age has no limit on it. God told them exactly how many years are going to be until the Messiah hits the ground. This is open-ended. Again, dealing with grace before judgment. The same thing he did with Methuselah. Okay, I mean, is God awesome or what? After the church age, we have 1,007 years of the earth left the way we know it. We're going to have 7 years of tribulation. Then we're going to have 1,000-year reign of God himself on the throne with believers. And then he's going to have the great white throne judgment. And then he's going to speak and destroy all the earth the way we know it. So the earth the way we know it only has, after the end of the church age, the amount of time is left here, but at the end of this, only 1,007 years the way we know it. Yeah, bro.
That's 7 years, is that strictly for the Jews?
7 years would be strictly for God to come back on judgment on the Jews for rejecting it.
So, if you're not brought up and you're Jewish, you're in trouble in that 7 years. Is that what you're saying?
Everyone's going to be in trouble in that 7 years.
That hasn't been brought up.
It doesn't matter how you brought up. When God pours his judgment on the earth, it's not going to be a good place to be. But don't worry, we'll be up in heaven those 7 years at the barbecue. And you know God can make them serious sauce. So we'll talk about that too as we go through, okay? We're going to eat dinosaurs. I told you, I'm going to eat my dinosaur from Mexico called the Tyrannosaurus Mex. Okay. All right, pepperoni. Okay, so you see how the timeline works? Hopefully I didn't confuse you too much. We have more time to talk about it as we go through. But you can see quickly, Revelation 1, past. Revelation 2 and 3, the church age. Revelation 4 through 22, the rest of the story on the line there. All right? Are we ready to have some fun when we come back next week? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to learn. And Father, it is an awesome time to walk through eschatology, future events, revelation, that which is going to happen to man, where you will either teach us, Lord, that we will be at the winning roast or the winning at the roast. We just praise you, Lord, for what you want to accomplish. Amen.